Let's ask God's blessing on the preaching of the gospel. Father in heaven, we turn to the scriptures before us, and we rejoice that this is thy precious word, this word which is forever settled in heaven. It is the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It is quick and sharp and powerful, indeed sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to make one wise unto salvation. For we who know thee as Saviour, it is the rule and guide of our faith and practice. Oh, may the Holy Spirit himself teach each of us from that word this night that which thou would have us know and understand. Touch now these stammering lips. Take this altogether unprofitable servant. May thou who art pleased to take the weak and the base and the despised things of this world to use in accordance with thy will. Take now this weak messenger. Make him thy messenger in thy message. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Well, a few minutes ago we read a couple of our Lord's parables from Luke 18. And I want to look with you at the latter of these from verse 9 through verse 14. And what we have here is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Now, the publican in the New Testament was not someone who manages a public house. It's another name for a tax collector. And so we find it in the Lord's parable. These two men, one a Pharisee and the other a publican, or a tax collector, go into the temple to pray. Now, as we think of this parable, the ninth verse explains why the Lord was telling it. It says, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Then he goes on to say, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And you know, when we look at what the Lord was saying to those men of his day, could the same be said of any of us here this evening? Could that describe you? Trusting in yourself? Perhaps your own works which you consider righteous before God? Words of piety? Many religious practices? And there is much perhaps that in the name of Christ one might engage in, and yet know not the Lord, striving to obtain your own measure of righteousness. When God says concerning man, there is none that doeth good, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then on top of that, this Pharisee was guilty of despising others. He despised the publican, the man who was openly sinful. These publicans are tax collectors. They were renowned because they were robbers of the people. They charged levies over and above that which was required to line their own pockets. They were making themselves rich at other people's expense. They were indeed sinful men. They were a despised people because one of the accusations brought against our Lord by the Pharisees was this: this man sitteth down to eat with publicans and sinners. Oh, they were regarded as the sinners of sinners. You know, there were lots of people in Israel and in Jerusalem like that when our Lord was walking amongst men. They indeed put on an outward show of religion and faith, and yet their hearts were far away from God. And when it came to others that were known to be sinners, they despised them and considered themselves to be a cut, yes, more than a cut, above them. And the Lord in this parable has a message for all of us as we look at these two men, the Pharisee and the publican. First of all, we note here that one was respected and one was rejected by men. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now no one wanted anything to do with a publican, a despised creature, one that was being rejected by the society of his day. This man indeed was one that they all wanted to avoid. No one would want to call him my friend. But then when it came to the Pharisee, oh, he was clothed in the garments of religion. I suppose in present day terms we would say he was a man of the cloth. Oh, he looked the part. He looked godly on the outside. He would carry a phylactery hanging around his neck, packed with the scriptures. He would be seen reading and reciting these in public, not for the glory of God, but for his own glory and appeal to men. He would be seen praying in public, and those around would say, surely there is a sincere, zealous man of God. Highly respected, probably a member of the Sanhedrin. No one would want to offend him or grieve him. This highly educated, respectable Pharisee, he must be revered and adored. You know, there are so many like that. Oh, on the outside, it all looks so good. The Lord referred to the Pharisees as whited sepulchres. Oh, on the outside, they looked clean and bright. But inside, he likened them to a tomb of decay. And so we Think of these two men, and the Lord is no respecter of persons. He wasn't looking up to the Pharisee. He knew all about him. And indeed, the other man, his sin, was an offense to God. And yet Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so I have to say this evening in love, lest any of us should fool ourselves or be fooled. In ourselves we have no righteousness. We have nothing to present to God that will in any way earn his grace or favor. It's by grace we are saved, God's free unmerited favor. And if you or I have any part in our salvation, then it would be no longer the gospel of grace. It would be a gospel of works. But the Apostle Paul said, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, there are many very respectable people, and they are good neighbors, and they are honest citizens, and they would indeed be churchgoers and be religious in many ways. But without Christ, they are lost. So one, the Pharisee, was respected by society. And one was rejected, as the Lord brings this parable to us. But then we see also in verse 10 that one was religious and the other was a rogue. The Lord said two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Lord knew their hearts. He knows the hearts of all men. And no doubt the religious Pharisee looked upon the publican as a rogue. Indeed, before God, he was just as big a rogue. Not a greater rogue. One who was lying to God. He had his show of piety, but his heart was far away. You see, what we have here is a religious sinner and a blatant sinner. But all have sinned. And this religious man, depending on his good works and his self-righteousness, was really despising all that God said in his word, though he recited that word. Most likely the old publican didn't know much scripture. Very likely he indeed wasn't even allowed at times through the door of the synagogue. He would be considered almost unclean, like a leper because of his profession and his sin. But we find that regardless of whether we are religious or irreligious, honest or dishonest, and we encourage honesty. But we must say that none of these things will fit us for heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Religious sinners and darkened sinners. When I think of the Apostle Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus. He referred to himself as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching, or if you like, pertaining to the law, a Pharisee. He had been circumcised according to the law on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. Educated in the school of the Pharisees at the feet of Gamaliel. Oh, he was revered amongst the Pharisees, let alone amongst the common people. Such was the authority that the old Saul of Tarsus bore, that men were fearful of him. They wouldn't want to offend him. He persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. He supervised the stoning of Stephen, the martyr, and held the coats of the young man who piled the stones upon him. Oh, if religion had saved a soul, Saul of Tarsus most certainly would have been in heaven. Oh, the religious of the religious, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he thought in the sight of God, he imagined that he was righteous. Until the Lord struck him down on the Damascus road. And that bright light shone from heaven. And he cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the voice from heaven said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Oh, the Lord had been pricking this man's conscience. I don't believe that Saul of Tarsus ever got the sight of the stoning of Stephen out of his head. We read that Stephen, as he was dying, he had the face of an angel. And Christ came into the world to save sinners. And this proud religious Pharisee who had gone about trying to establish his own righteousness now realized that he was altogether unrighteous. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And in submission to Christ, he was converted and transformed by the grace of God there on the Damascus Road. And he said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He says, even the worst of sinners has been saved. And so, we think of religion in itself, but it doesn't save. Our tears won't save us. Jesus alone can reconcile us to God. So the religious Pharisee and that rogue of a publican, in the sight of God, they were both sinners, as we all are. But then I notice in verses 11, 12, and 13, one recited and one repented. Oh, when you look at the words of verse 11, verse 12, what an affront, what an insult to God. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself. Now, I want you to note that. He prayed thus with himself. He maybe imagined he was praying to God. God didn't hear one word he was saying. He had a proud heart. He failed to see his need. He was boasting of his own self-righteousness, and here he was in the temple talking to himself. He wasn't talking to God. He imagined so. But God will never hear a proud, arrogant sinner. and the publican, we find that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. And the word of God says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but this man's different. Oh, that might apply what the Lord said to that poor man lying in the gutter of sin in the street, not knowing what day of the week it is. That might apply to that woman who indeed is known as a streetwalker. That might apply to those indeed who be drug addicts or whatever, but not me. I'm not as other men are. Could any of us have that pharisaical attitude? Still out of Christ and without a Saviour, and yet saying to God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Well, he had a lesson to learn. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. He begins to recite all the things that he's not. He doesn't mention what he is, but he mentions the things that he's not. And then he says, or even as this publican. Oh, in his proud heart, he couldn't even tolerate the old publican in the temple praying. And they looked down on him and despised him, failing to notice that he was just as great a sinner in the sight of God. And he recited. Oh, he recited all these things. And he said even further, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now he's telling God about all the money he has given him. And the sacrifice that he's making, fasting. And fasting to be seen of men rather than honouring God. And it's this list of attributes that he sees in himself that he's, as it were, reminding God of. Reciting. And no doubt he had this well rehearsed before he stepped through the doors of the temple. One recited, but look at verse 13. One repented. And the publican, standing afar off, oh, he felt unworthy, even to be in the temple, no doubt, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Couldn't even lift up his eyes before God. But he smote upon his breast. Oh, a man who is, if you like, sick of his sin, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, he was not presenting anything to God other than himself. He was a sinner and he knew it. He accepted that. You know, dear friends, we will never be reconciled to God until we accept our sinnership. That when God says, all have sinned and come short of my glory, that includes me. And this man, no one had to tell him. He was a sinner, he knew. And he knew all that he had done. And those in the street knew what he was guilty of. And indeed he was guilty of far more, I would say, than even the public knew about, and even that Pharisee knew about. But he's coming to God, and he knows the Lord knows his heart. Knows all about him. So he's nothing to present to God but his old vile, sinful self. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Tell me, have we called on the name of the Lord in repentance? The Lord Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is no salvation without repentance. No salvation without contrition for sin. Coming to Christ just as we are, presenting to him our own sinful selves. One recited, one repented. But then I see in these verses 11, 12, 13, one was arrogant. And one was ashamed. The Pharisee, he was so proud of all that he did, of all that he was sacrificing, of all that he was paying, and all the praying that he did and the fasting, and you name it. He was arrogant. And the other poor soul, he was ashamed. He couldn't even as much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. He couldn't face God. He was so ashamed of his sin. He was broken because of his sin. He knew that he had wronged God. He had broken the law of God. He was a vile sinner. One man was arrogant and one was ashamed. The Pharisee was saying to God, you owe me. He was saying to God, think of all that I'm doing and sacrificing. You owe me. Oh, may God deliver us from that foolish thinking. Whereas the other poor soul, he looked at his sinful heart and he said, oh Lord, I owe you. I'm a debtor to you. I have a record of sin against me that I myself can never pay off. No, not even 10 million years in hell would erase one sin or the guilt. I owe you, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. You know, that's the problem in our nation tonight. There's no shame over sin. It's a society that sins blatantly and openly before God. And men even question the existence of sin, let alone be ashamed of it. But until you and I are ashamed of our sin and our sinnership, we can never be in heaven. One was arrogant and one was ashamed. But then I see one was condemned and one was converted. Oh, as the Lord looked on that Pharisee. All his words and boasting brought nothing to him but the condemnation of God. The other poor soul, crying to God for mercy, he indeed was transformed by the grace of God. The Lord said he was the one who left the temple justified. I think of the Lord being crucified and the two thieves. And one account in the Gospels tells us that both thieves reviled the Lord and indeed were guilty of despising him. Then we read in another gospel how that this thief, hanging beside the Lord, no doubt knowing he was in the brink of eternity and he wasn't ready to meet God, he rebuked the other malefactor. Dost not thou fear God, seeing we are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. One of these thieves was no different to the other as far as their crime was concerned. One, no doubt, was just as big a sinner as the other. But that dying soul, he looked to the Christ whose blood was being shed. He indeed, like his accomplice, had been cursing and swearing and kicking and screaming as they were lifted up to die. But the one in the center, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This man had observed all the abuse that Christ indeed had to endure and suffer. No doubt he marveled. And he saw the difference between the Christ of God and himself. Oh, he said, what words of faith for a man, I'm sure, that knew very little of religious practice, or indeed the scriptures. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he had nothing to present to God but his sin. And the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me. Yes, with me in paradise. Christ receiveth sinful men, not self-righteous men, who imagine that they don't need him, who despite the fact that Christ's blood was shed to atone for the sins of his people, that God demanded and required the blood of his eternal Son to atone for sin. And as man's only hope for eternity, there must be that faith in Christ's finished work. Where do we stand? Do we appear condemned before God? Because with a Pharisaical attitude, we might say, well, this gospel that's been preached, it's for the vile sinner, but it's not for me. Or do we see yourselves for what we are, sinners before God? Do we see Christ and his blood as our only hope for eternity? The Pharisee was condemned. The publican was converted. He was the one that God said went home justified. But then we think of the other awful reality as I finished. One was for hell, and the other was for heaven. The Pharisee was trying to justify himself by his own works of self-righteousness. But he couldn't do it. And as a result of his proud heart and arrogance and stubbornness against God, there was no justification for him. And for those who are unjustified, for those who know not Christ, he made it clear that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. and the old despised publican. Converted, saved by the grace of God, was for heaven. Oh, his life would be transformed. He wouldn't be robbing the people anymore. The old rogue had been changed. He was now born again of the Spirit of God. A man indeed who would live out the fact that he was justified before God. And a citizenship was now in heaven. Now eternity comes to us all, from the youngest to the oldest here. Regardless of how long we have in this world, or indeed, if our Lord may come, we all must leave this world behind. And then, the judgment. To hear those words, what a tragedy. For self-righteous sinners. For those who think or imagine they don't need Christ. To say, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you. Unsaved. And you know that Pharisee, rejecting Christ, would go to a hell occupied with even the vilest of sinners, worse even than that publican. People he wouldn't want to touch clothes with during this lifetime, but in hell, with them enduring the wrath of God, and the publican. Oh, no one wanted to know him previously. But now a transformed soul saved by God's grace, who one day will be singing the praises of the Lamb in glory. That is why the Lord says, for everyone that exalteth himself will be abased. The Pharisee exalted himself, and God was humbling him, and would humble him forever in eternity. And the Lord says, and he who humbleth himself will be exalted. To think that that Pharisee would go into the temple, and in repentance and remorse pour out his heart to God for mercy, and find peace with God through faith in him. Oh, my friend, what about you? Will you hear that day, rather than depart from me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Heaven. Forever. It's either heaven or hell, as I think of this little gathering. I trust we all will be in heaven. But only if we're saved. Oh, how sad it would be for any who perhaps sat many times under the sound of a faithful pastor here, week after week, and yet die in their sins without Christ. Oh, may we build our faith on the right foundation. And Christ is that great rock on which we build our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. May we all know peace with God through him. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 389. In many ways, this typifies that publican in the temple, and also the dying thief in the cross. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Savior, think seriously of these words as we sing them, and where they might apply to you. 389.